2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. We've been talking about what the Bible has to say about mercy for the last few weeks. And as we have been continuing down this road and looked at what the Bible means when it talks about mercy, we looked carefully at the Old Testament words for mercy, and we turned and we transitioned over to the New Testament words for mercy. We looked at the mercy seat, and we had that picture of a woman picking up a helpless child and being able to care for it in a womb. And we looked at pity in the New Testament. And so now I've kind of been trying to focus on examples of mercy through the Bible. And again, we looked at in the Old Testament, the word is often translated womb, tender love. And we looked at some verses that had to do with that. We took a look at the second word, mercy, God's goodness, his kindness, his loving kindness, the most used word of mercy. And it means to have pity, to forgive sin, and we see it all through the Old Testament. Then we took the idea to the Ark of the Covenant and that mercy seat and what the mercy seat was all about and how the priest would go in once a year and offer that atonement. We talked about how it's the place where God reigns. It's the place where God meets with the people. And then in the New Testament, when we see that mercy seat, it's Jesus Christ. Anytime you see the word propitiation, you may very well be looking at Jesus Christ as the physical manifestation of the finished work of the mercy seat in the New Testament. The substitutionary, satisfactory sacrifice. I always tell kids, if you want to know what mercy seat is, just remember those three S's for propitiation. Substitutionary, satisfactory sacrifice. Jesus Christ is the mercy seat. Last week we looked at the example of the lame man healed in the book of Acts, and tonight I'd like us to look at the example of that aspect of mercy and its having pity. And in this passage of scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 9, where we see King David going out of his way to have mercy and pity on a man by the name of Mephibosheth. And you just try saying that name 10 times fast and you'll get tongue-tied. But Mephibosheth is one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. And I know that there was one time where I tried to think, and I had to prepare a lot of messages and Bible lessons, and I said, I'd like to be able to just quickly, if I was going to prepare some 70 Bible lessons, to get one from every book of the Bible. And I think maybe the hardest book in the Bible to really grasp some uplifting scripture, I said, is 2 Samuel. Because 2 Samuel is this book that has so much to do with the consequences of David's sin with Bathsheba and how that would affect his family for the rest of his life. But tucked into here, we have one of the greatest examples of mercy in all the Bible. As King David says in verse 1, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And so David, he does something that is completely opposite of what we see through history. Is when one dynasty, a ruling family, is destroyed and a new one comes up. It's not very often where that new king would go and say, "Let's look for someone from the family of the last king. And I'd like you to look for him so I can show him mercy and kindness." That's not natural. Just think about in this country, as we we say we try to be civil and bipartisan and all this stuff, but if one regime, if maybe a conservative regime comes in and the liberal goes out, or the liberal comes in and the conservative goes out, there's not too much kindness from one group to the next. They don't have, often don't have good things to say about that. But David, in this situation, he ambitiously goes out of his way looking for someone from Saul's house to show kindness to be merciful to. And in verse 3, it says, "Then the king said, 'Is there still not someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?' And Ziba said to the king, 'There is a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet.'" In verse 4, it says, "So the king said to him, 'Where is he?' And Ziba said to the king, 'Indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amaleel, in Lo Debar.' Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amaleel, from Lo Debar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, 'Mephibosheth.' And he answered, 'Here is your servant.' And David said to him, 'Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually.'" In verse 10 of that same chapter, it says, "You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest, that your master's son may have food to eat, but Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always." And it says there, "Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants." But as I read this story of Mephibosheth, I think about people in our world. We have enemies. But would we, like King David, go out of our way to look for someone like Mephibosheth and show that kind of kindness to them? Because isn't this what Christ does for us? This is David being Christ-like. This man, Mephibosheth, remember I said, mercy is like when you're walking down the road and you see something that is pitiful and gross. And I said one day, the spider or the bug or the worm there on the ground. And most of us, our instinct is to go, "Ew, gross," and stop, right? That's most of our... But mercy is to take that thing that we go, "Ew, gross, stomp," and to pick it up and to not do with it what is natural for the gross thing, and to show it exceptional kindness. Most men in David's position would take a look at Mephibosheth, who was a danger to his throne. Anybody of Saul's reign was a danger to David's throne. And would take him in his position and just stomp. And on top of that, Mephibosheth is lame in his feet. But David went out of his way looking for Mephibosheth, showed him kindness, and brought him to his table and cared for him in his life. That's a great example of pity, the aspect of mercy that is pitiful. As we look it through the Bible and see this idea of mercy through the scriptures, I'd like us to look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, it says in verse 13, James 2:13, it says, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." Mercy triumphs over judgment. We live in a world today where this idea, this concept of judgment has been taken way out of hand. And we are often told to as we view other people, "Don't judge me. How can you not judge me?" And people almost think they take it to a biblical level when they have this idea about judgment. Well, the Bible says that we need to be careful when we judge, to really think about where we are and what we are saying. When we think about that in someone else's life. But the concept here is, says that when we think about mercy and judgment, judgment is reality. Judgment is coming for everyone in this world. And it's Jesus Christ's ultimate responsibility to judge the people of this world. But as we think about this, here in this passage of Scripture, it says that we as believers, when we think about coming judgment, we need to think about the mercy of God. And with the measure that God has been merciful to us, we need to go out of our way, like David of old, to be merciful to others. Even when we could stomp on someone else's head, we need to show pity and compassion, because mercy triumphs over judgment. I'd like us to look at Luke chapter 6 for just a minute. Luke chapter 6. I'm going to kind of follow along this same idea here. In Luke chapter 6, David could have held Mephibosheth accountable for all of Saul's crimes and how Saul had chased him down and had done all this terrible stuff. And when David was trying to just be a good servant, Saul treated him wrongly. And David absolutely could have done that, but David in that moment was merciful. He showed pity to Mephibosheth. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 35, it says, "But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." I think it's very, very, very important that we be careful when we think about judgment and mercy. And when we have opportunity, we need to make sure that mercy wins. And that we are merciful just as God was merciful to us. Now again, as I read the scriptures, I read about a Jesus Christ who said, when you judge, when you take a look at someone else's life, take a look at your own life. And he talked about that if you see someone with a sliver, make sure you have removed the beam from your eye before you try to help them and take care of them. That's a very a passage of Scripture that we all know and we've heard before. But as we think about what it means to look at the people around us and the actions that they have, we need to make sure that we do it with a merciful mind and that we be ready and prepared to go out of our way to be merciful. We have talked about some examples of mercy through the Scripture. We talked about the lame man being healed in the book of Acts. We talked about David having pitiful type of mercy to Mephibosheth in 2 Samuel. But the best example of all, the best example of mercy that we find in the Scripture is Jesus Christ. And let's take a look at our Bibles over to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, and let's look at the best example of mercy in God's Word and in the Bible. Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, in verse 46, it says, "Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying, 'Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you.' And throwing aside his garments, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' The blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way. Your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." I think this is the best example of mercy that we have. Jesus Christ being merciful to blind Bartimaeus. As we looked at this passage here, the first thing I see is that we need to be merciful as God is merciful. I've got a verse up there, Luke chapter 6. We were just in Luke chapter 6, and we read verses 35 to 37. And as we saw that, we saw that we need to make sure that as God was merciful to us, that we reciprocate that mercy onto someone else. Mercy is help in time of need. We see in Mark chapter 10 in verse 47. Can't you just picture this in your mind? Here is this blind beggar on the road crying out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." And as we look at ourselves, we need that kind of mercy in our own life, in the time of need that we all have. Let's turn over our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I love the book of Hebrews. One of my favorite books in all the Bible. But in Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." This morning in Sunday school, I was talking about salvation. And I used this example. I said, we all, when we are sinners, because we are talking about how sin leads to death. I said, we all as sinners, when we were sinners, it's like we were a blind man, like blind Bartimaeus. And we are walking towards a cliff, getting one step closer with every step, one step closer to death. And we are blind and not knowing when that next step may come and it will be fatal. And they said, I've said this to many kids, many teenagers. I've actually had teenagers come, if you blindfolded, I've said, it would be being a sinner and being lost and blind as the Bible describes is like having a blindfold on and walking towards a cliff and not knowing how far you are away from it. And your next step could be fatal and eternally separate you from God. And I said this morning, I've had some smart aleck kids. Like this, it never ceases to amaze me how kids can be such smart alecks. I guess they haven't experienced life, right? This week I was talking to my Bible class about Jeroboam and Rehoboam. And how Rehoboam said, my father whipped you with whips, but I will whip you with scorpions. And I said, could you imagine being in the audience and knowing what it was like to be a slave and to be whipped to work? And this guy said, I'm not going to get weaker with you. I'm going to get stronger with you. And I'm going to whip you. And when I whip you, it's going to feel like a scorpion. This kid's like, I wouldn't care. He said, I wouldn't care. No big deal. I looked at that kid. I said, you haven't experienced it. You don't know. If we were to be honest, that's terrifying. And if we think about being blind and being completely blind and taking a step and I've had kids come up to me and say, "No, that wouldn't be a big deal. I could handle that. I just take my foot and." Oh, come on. If the next step was falling off of Niagara Falls to the rocks down below, you'd be terrified, right? But in this world, we're pitiful. We're blind, and we are doing this. And mercy is God looking at people heading toward, if I do this very much, like, you know, our speaker last week, he ran and jumped around. I said, I thought to myself, if I ran and jumped around, I'd tear my ACL. But anyways, if I was going towards the cliff and doing this, I'm looking pretty pitiful. But mercy is God saying to blind Bartimaeus, I would give you help in your dire time of need. And God looks out for people like blind Bartimaeus in this world, whether they be the physical blind Bartimaeus or the spiritual blind Bartimaeus. And he gives mercy and provides grace in the time of need. God shows mercy to the merciful. Let's look over in 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. In 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 26, it says, with the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. And with the blameless, you will show yourself blameless. It seems like as I was reading these ideas last week, I was looking at the Beatitudes. And as we looked at those in Matthew chapter 5, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. If you look at your life this week and you say, you know what I am? God, as I stand here before you today and I think about myself and I think about where I stand before you, God, I am pitiful. God, I feel worthless. I need your mercy, God. And you feel like in your life, you're like blind Bartimaeus. And I've just been a beggar and I'm laying here and I need you, God. I need you so much. And you're crying out in your heart, Jesus, thou son of David, be merciful to me. You want to know what I see the biblical answer for someone who is so deeply in need of mercy? Begin crying out to God. Pray. Go to the throne of grace in your time of need. And practically, in your day-to-day life, begin showing mercy to the people around you. Does that sound like a good strategy? Cry out to the Lord like blind Bartimaeus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Get on your knees before God and say, God, I need your mercy. You promised that you would give grace. And then look for ways in your life that you could show mercy to someone else. And you say, well, how do I do that? What can I do to show mercy? There's lots of ways that you could show mercy. You can look for someone in need and help them. Be hospitable to them. Help them clean up their lives maybe a little bit. Help them where they lack and where they're absolutely in need. You could call up someone who is in a terrible strait and say, could I pray for you? And is there anything practically that I could do for you? And show mercy. And that doesn't just mean, I began this saying, for a long time in my life, the picture that I had of mercy was when I used to take my little brother Sean and I used to grab him and pin him to the floor and twist his arm and say, mercy, Sean, and wait for him to, mercy! That was my example of what I thought mercy was. I used to pin my brother to the ground. I've always been twice as big as my brother. Still am. And he's a tiny little guy. I used to pin him to the ground and I'd tickle him till about wet his pants. So that was what I did to my brother. I'd make him say mercy and I pictured that's what God was doing to us. And said, okay, I'm not going to twist your arm. I'm not going to punish you. I'll let you off the hook and I'll give you mercy. But I think that what we've looked at in the last couple weeks, as we pictured a mom carrying her unborn child who couldn't make it in this world on their own, as we talked about kindness of God through the Old Testament, as we took a look at the mercy seat in the temple, in the tabernacle, and the blood of the lamb that was sprinkled on there 7 times. So we get to the New Testament, and we see that God's mercy had a big part in our salvation. We look at the lame man, and as the apostle said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give to you. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. David showing pity to Mephibosheth, caring for him when he couldn't care for himself. And Jesus Christ's encounter with blind Bartimaeus as he's crying out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And blind Bartimaeus, after his encounter with Jesus Christ healed him, and he got up, he walked, and he followed Jesus. I see a totally different idea and thought of mercy in the Bible. And I hope that maybe you, as we've looked at mercy, mercy, and mercy, you have a different understanding. And maybe when we read verses like, with the merciful, you will show yourself merciful, you'll have a new and better appreciation of mercy. God chooses how to display his mercy. We don't know what method God is going to practically show us our mercy from day to day. And let's just kind of look over in our Bibles to Romans chapter 9, verse 15. I am so glad that Jesus Christ, out of his mercy, stepped down out of heaven to live for me and to die for me. Tonight we had a baptism where a young girl said, I believe in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. She said she trusted in Jesus. She knew what it was to experience the mercy of God and to follow him in baptism. And so many of us, we've done that too. And we should be so thankful that God's mercy allowed him to hang on a cross for us. We ought to declare that to everyone around us and live merciful lives ourselves. In verse 15 of Romans chapter 9, it says, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whoever I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scriptures say to Pharaoh, for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the world. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. God chooses how he will display his mercy. It's our responsibility to cry out to God for his mercy and to share the gospel and to be merciful to the world around us. Let's try to, as we've learned about this mercy, to be examples of mercy to those who need it the most. Let's pray this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy. Lord, I needed your mercy. The people that are sitting here, they would say, they need your mercy. And Lord, as we cry out for your mercy, as we ask for your compassion, your pity, Lord, we thank you that you listen, you take time to hear pitiful us. You picked us up and you are conforming us to the image of your Son. I pray that we might live for you. And Lord, that we might show mercy to the blind Bartimaeuses. That we might show mercy to the Mephibosheths. And that we might just live for you each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.